I want you to turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 21. Looking at verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is the lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, but there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then turning back to the opening section of it. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. And he who seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. May God bless to us the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask in these moments as we consider your holy word, that Lord, hope and expectation would rise in our hearts to your glory and to your honor. Amen. What a wonderful passage. What a wonderful journey. Eden and home. When we looked at creation, when God said it was good, you could hear the sentiments of God's heart. He was a happy creator. He had created because he was a God of love. He had created community for us to live in, Adam and Eve, in community with one another, in relationship, but also in relationship with God. It was perfect. It was as it was intended to be. But then the tragedy of the fall, our aspirations disorientated by the seductions of Satan. We ended up listening to the whisper in our ear, and we, as a result, became disorientated, not seeing God, not hearing properly from God, not visualizing his presence in creation or even his image in our lives or other people's lives. It is the reason why we can act inhumanely. We know, even by the term inhumane, that it was not as it's intended to be. It's not as we were intended to act towards one another. But part of indulging our own lusts and aspirations and desires that are no longer governed by God means that you and I seek to explain this world in different ways and to rationalize our actions in other ways. As a result of that, we've become insensitive to God's presence or to his whisperings. But he sent a loud message in Christ. He did not stay in heaven, but he sent his Son from heaven to declare what he declared. And this is what we call the end times, the eschaton. The fact is that we now, in the present, as the church, begin to experience what heaven will one day be like, albeit even in our brokenness. So there are moments for each one of us who are under repair that we glimpse what we will be finally like when we are taken to this destination that is prepared for us. There are times in worship when our worship is elevated to the degree that we are in perfect bond and unity together, glorifying God. You see, when you begin to see the theology behind these practices, there is no room for division. There is no room for disunity. That is a consequence of our brokenness. It is not a product of the eschaton. It is not the foreshadowing. It is not the expectation, anticipation. When we talk about communion of the saints, and the Anglicans have it right here in a way that we don't, when we talk about the communion of the saints, we recognize that in the body of Christ, past, present, and future, we are now worshiping a God who already has in his presence those who have already gone before us and are experiencing the joy of his presence without sin and without restriction. We join with them as we glorify God. Let's not act in our brokenness. Let's act in anticipation of our completeness in God. Therefore, if I am asked to love without conditions, my brothers and sisters in Christ, then during worship together, I am not going to allow Satan to cause me to divide. He has no right of rule. When we come together, there are moments in our worship when we can experience a glimpse of what that final state will be like. When we're caught up with God, when we're exhilarated by the sentiments of the words that have been expressed in the song, when we supernaturally sense the presence of God amongst us. And what is it that motivates us? Roy raised the point. And the point is that we will have tribulation without any doubt, regardless of what the specific teaching is on the tribulation. You and I are going to experience some tough, tough, tough times. Now, if it works out that indeed the church does have to go through the tribulation, if that is what Scripture is pointing us towards, the issue is not that. Because God has already told us, if you keep your eyes focused on me, it won't matter. Because you have been protected and guarded by me throughout various times in the history of this church, through the greatest and severest persecutions that human beings have ever had to endure. And if you have to endure it, I will help you. I will give you strength. I will protect you from the evil one. And you know what? Even in tribulation, the church will still be fruitful. Regardless of the enemy and what he seeks to do, I will bring you through right to the very end. Now, what motivates us to keep persevering? What we know awaits. What we know awaits. That's exciting. Have you caught a glimpse of it? What does this passage tell us, whether it's the millennial reign or whether it's the fact of the eternal state in heaven itself, makes no real difference substantially to it. But I want you to think for a moment about the world and its mess, about all the difficulties that we are under repair, that we are confronted with all sorts of chaos out in society, where there are changing values and moralities amongst people, where there are wars and rumors of wars, where there are actual violence and inhumane acts towards other people, where there's fear and disheartenment, where there's hopelessness and despair, then we have a picture of a world that is very different. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine out, for the glory of God gives its light and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of this earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. Do you remember in the story of the Garden of Eden, there was a guard put over its entrance, and it was shut. They were not to have access back into that garden again, to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of life, because they now had been shut out. Tree of life and the tree of good and evil. We not only had now impaired knowledge, but we had no access to that tree of life. But the Lamb came. And so God knew that he had greater plans for his people. So we were barred from one garden because of access to a tree that could give us not only life, but also knowledge that we could not contend with, good and evil. It would be all-consuming and destructive. But that was not his intention. Because in this final state, whatever that state is, it tells us here the beautiful analogy, which is this. On no day will its gates ever be shut, and there will be no more night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. People will come. The redeemed will be there. Those who have been sanctified by God, those that are now placing their trust in him, they will have complete access into that place. It will never be shut. There will be no need of it ever happening again, where access is denied, because access has been achieved through the Lord Jesus Christ, a full and open access into the Holy of Holies, into the place that God had intended us from the very beginning, into a place of harmony and rest and peace amongst people and with himself. Don't you long for that day? Don't you long for that moment? That just like as the author John was saying in the opening part of Revelation, where every tear will be wiped away, will there be no more sadness, no more sickness, no more death, no more fear, no more brokenness, no more impairment. No spiritual short-sightedness, no dysfunctionality between people. That the eternal reign of God and reigning forever with him will supply all our needs and more. That final state that we all eagerly await and anticipate and experience partially at this point in time will one day be fully realized as we go into his presence together. You experience it the best you can with the people of God. With the people of God. And that's a wonderful experience to possess and to follow. Following Jesus with God's people, following in close pursuit. Together making our journey end of when he will come and call not just individuals but his church into his presence. So when you experience the hardships in life, so when you experience the difficulties, so when the pain comes, when the tribulation occurs, whatever that tribulation may be, personal or collective on this planet, be prepared by the presence of God in your life, by being faithful to God, desiring to persevere to the end, because you know that these trials produce the greater hope. That one day you will fully access his presence and he will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. That he will affirm your travel and your journey as you remain faithful to him through the severest of times and greatest of difficulties.
And God understands that, and God knows that, and God sees that, and he sees that in your life personally, and he sees what will happen within the world generally. And he is willing you home. He is willing you home because he knows that when you arrive, you will see the worth of the journey itself. He knows that when he personally wipes away all tears from your eyes, that the personal pain you experienced on earth will dissolve into insignificance. That it is not worthy comparing with what will be revealed. You will no longer be beset by personal aches and pains. You will no longer have the incapacity of your body. You'll no longer be disabled in your mind to enjoy the fullness of life. No longer will your spirit be harnessed by sin and the restrictions that it so much causes in this battle between the war of the flesh. No longer will these things take you prisoner. You will ultimately be free to enjoy him the way that he wanted you to enjoy him in the first place. And he will not end your journey until he knows the right time for you to experience the fullest of joy. And it was that that caught Paul up in the midst of his journey and said, you know what? I have been shipwrecked. I have been beaten beyond an inch of my life on occasions. I have been ridiculed. I have been given a thorn in the flesh by Almighty God to keep me humble because I am a sinner too. I have experienced the ridicule of my fellow countrymen. I have been ostracized from the religion that I grew up in. I have been imprisoned, and I have an inkling that I will lose my life at some stage. I will be persecuted, and I will die for him. But for me to live, to die is gain. I am convinced that neither height nor depth, or anything in heaven and on earth and in all creation will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So if you're asking Paul today, if he was sitting in that front pew, if you were looking at him now, if you were to ask him, Paul, should I carry on? He'd jump to his feet and he would say, why give up? I am living testimony. Along with every witness that goes before me, we are surrounded by such great a cloud of witnesses. Therefore, let us run with perseverance the race that is set out before us. Will you make it home? Of course, if you persevere, you will. And it will be worth it. Because God will wipe away those tears. God will give you access into every part of his being that you'd never experienced before in the holies of holies. You will be complete beyond imagination. Eden and beyond. Back to the place God had intended from us from all beginning. And he's going to shut up our enemy forever. He will bind him. And he will not allow him ever again to trouble his people. You and I, safely home. I grew up in a culture that taught that you better be ready for the second coming. Two will be in the field. One will be left. I was petrified. I hardly wanted to go home in case my parents had been raptured. I used to shout in the door when I'd seen the film Thief in the Night just to make sure that it hadn't happened. Was it helpful? I don't know. I don't care now. Certainly it alarmed me, but it did teach one very vital truth. That I needed to get my relationship with God all sorted out. It started with fear. My relationship with God probably started with fear. I was frightened that I'd go to a lost eternity. I was frightened that the Lord would come back and I would be left. Is it fear that motivates me today, all these years later? I don't think so. Genuinely before God, I hope not. I hope that what motivates me today is that I've fallen in love with Him, the more I've got to know Him. Would fear have kept me persevering to the end? I doubt it. Because if somebody was able to remove my fear of God, then maybe I would have had nothing to fear. But how can they remove my love of Him when it's taken the rest of my life to experience it and to grow in it? That verse this morning captivates me today. Directed into His love. Fall in love with Him tonight, and you have nothing to fear. Fall in love with Him tonight, and you've everything to look forward to. And to be honest, whilst theology is fantastic, I haven't fallen in love with theology either. But when you fall in love with Him, then you're prepared to journey with Him. And as you seek to do that, may you too find that one day He will wipe away your tears too, and you'll experience everything that you'd ever dreamed of but could never find. Let's pray. Lord, in these moments, as we listen to a ministry song, may the words of Scripture and the presence of God embed itself in our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.